Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Happy Mama Movement podcast. I'm Amy Taylor-Cabaz, mama, journalist, coach, and founder of Mama Rising. This podcast is a space of community and collaboration. We gather stories of matrescence, motherhood, womanhood, and change told by our Mama Rising coaches and mothers around the globe, in the knowing that through our stories, we can begin to heal and change the way the world sees, values, and supports mothers everywhere. So, welcome to the Happy Mama Movement. Welcome back, everybody. This week on the podcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to reflect on what is now a decade of coaching mamas. This has come about because quite recently I had the incredible honor and privilege of receiving an award from the coaching academy that I studied with 10 years ago now. And I was incredibly lucky enough to receive the Coach of the Decade for motherhood, parenting, and fertility. And over that weekend, really had a chance to reflect on what it's been like to be doing this work for the last 10 years. Both personally for myself, I would love to share with you what this has looked like. So many of you that listen to this podcast are interested in supporting mothers differently, whether it's as a coach or in different industries. So I want to share with you what it's been like to build this business over the last decade. And I also want to reflect on what I see has changed in those 10 years. I think the most important thing that I saw when I received that award just recently was that motherhood is now a category unto itself. And that feels like such a huge achievement, not just by any means by me, but by hundreds of thousands of people around the world who are part of this movement to make sure that mothers are seen, they are discussed, they are put in the center of policy conversations, that they are a category, like I said, unto themselves. Because for so many of you who know my story, when I became a mother 16 years ago, it was such an incredible shock to realize how invisible this enormous experience I was having was. It didn't make sense to me that nobody was talking about this. And then 6 years later, when I trained to be a coach and I wanted to focus on mothers, I felt the same thing. Why is being a coach for mothers something that was dismissed and mocked and laughed at? Over the last decade, it has been an exceptionally challenging task at times to back myself in this. Again, as many of you know, my background is a journalist with the ABC, but before that, I studied at university international politics. I have a degree in international relations. I then went on and did postgraduate study in international development, focusing on women in developing countries. I was always incredibly passionate about being a part of big conversations of what we need to do differently, especially around women. It's so interesting now to see how all of these pieces of the puzzle were built right from when I was little. I didn't see it at the time. I thought I was going to stay in journalism. Maybe I would end up been an academic. I thought I loved being at uni so much. At one stage, I thought maybe I'd just stay at university and study for the rest of my life. I really wanted to work for the UN. I wanted to work for organisations around the world that supported women in particular differently. So when I began to focus, almost pivot my career to focus on motherhood, it was incredibly hard to back myself in that because it felt like I had lost my edge. Even becoming a life coach was something I didn't claim for many years, even though it's what I was doing. If I met somebody new, I would tell them that I used to be a journalist for the ABC, that I was still the chief writer for a big magazine here in Australia, that I was a copy editor for another magazine. I spoke about all the other things I was doing because to be a life coach, what is that? How woo-woo and weird can you get? And then if I did say that I was also a coach and they said, what type of coach? And I said with mothers, I either got one of two reactions. One was, oh, and they almost wondered what had happened to me. Like you were on this amazing trajectory of ABC journalist and magazine editor and what, you're now talking to mums? Or they just sort of laughed and walked away. I'm not exaggerating. That was for years I felt like it wasn't taken seriously. And therefore, I will be completely honest, I found it hard for me to own that myself too. I found it hard for me to use my voice to make sure that this topic and this conversation was as powerful as I know it is now. And many, many times I realized that if I didn't take this work seriously and if I didn't own that motherhood is a category unto itself that must be prioritized and made visible, then how can I make other mums feel like that? How can I convince mums to spend money on coaching if I'm not fully claiming how powerful this is? How could I possibly go into corporates and workplaces and organizations demanding that they put different support around their women that are returning from maternity leave if I'm not owning this myself? So for many years, I was split between these two desires. I wanted that professionalism, that admiration, I have to say, that I received with my work at the ABC. I know it's the same in many places around the world where there is a particular media organization or a particular company that has just got a reputation. And here in Australia, the ABC has a phenomenal reputation for incredibly serious professional journalism. And my identity was so attached to that. Even before I worked for the ABC, that's all I ever wanted to do was work for the ABC. So to let that go and instead claim something like mother coach was so difficult. And so for so many of us out there that want to make these conversations more visible, who want to be a part of the change, even if it's just in your own workplace, it's in your own community, within your own marriage, to use your voice to say, no, this is really important, is I understand what that takes. I had somebody say to me very early on when I was building my business, my first coaching business was called Happy Mama. And I was doing like a branding website exercise with somebody. And they said, well, do you really want to be known as just mothers? Like, I know that's what you want at the moment because you've got little babies. You know, I had at this stage probably 8, 6, and 2 year olds. So my three kids were probably 8, 6, and 2. And this marketing expert said, are you sure you want to really build a brand around mothers? I know that's what you're in the middle of now, but maybe it will change. What if in a few years when your babies are all at school and you kind of pass this early stage of motherhood, maybe you'd want to talk about something else? Do you really want your brand to be just around mothers? And I paused for, no exaggeration, a millisecond. And my whole body just said, yes, this is what I'm here to talk about. It will always be mothers. And I don't know where that conviction has come from. It makes me emotional. As anybody who's ever done any training with me or interviewed me or anything, I can't talk about how passionate I am about mothers without getting emotional. And I don't know where that has come from, other than obviously my own experience, but now also having heard voices of mothers around the world for a decade, I know that this is what I'm meant to do. And on reflection, even that question from the marketing expert about you're only talking about this because you're living it right now. Once your babies are older, you're going to want to move on. Even that alone is part of our problem. That once again is acknowledging, oh, you're just obsessed with motherhood because your baby's a little, but you know what? You'll get over that and you'll come back to being this professional woman. You'll come back to wanting to be talking about something else. Now, many women might, but what if this is something that I'm passionate about, whether I'm in the baby stage or not? And beyond that, I never stop being a mother. In fact, the things that I've been dealing with over the last few years, particularly with one of my teenagers, is so much more intense and confronting and challenging and life-changing than I ever experienced in those early years. So over the last decade, I wanted to share with all of you the personal challenge it has been to back myself in this. And I know that's the case for so many of us in industries where we're trying to make change for things that used to be invisible or still are. I know that motherhood is not the only area where so many of us are trying to be seen. I know that there is so many other ways that we are trying to be seen, whether it's neurodiversity, whether it's gender, whether it's sexuality, whether it's race, whether it's accessibility, whether it's domestic violence, whether there's so many areas where we are trying to be heard and be seen. And so I just want to take this moment to acknowledge what it can feel like when you feel like you're pushing things uphill sometimes. I also hear now so much from our Mama Rising coaches, our newly graduated students, how much they worry that they don't have the answers. And this question of who am I to be out there talking about this? I'm still figuring it out myself. So I just want to touch on that as well. I think one of the greatest disservices we can do to each other at the moment is to follow this patriarchal lie that says, unless you have it all figured out, and you're the guru or the expert and are perfect, you can't speak, you can't share, you can't lead, you can't gather people together. It is one of those toxic lies we've been given in our patriarchal culture that says the person at the top is perfect, and unless you are, you can't be there. Now, we all know that the people at the top around the world are far from perfect, but they don't stop anyway. That's just that culture. What I see on the other end of that is so many powerful, passionate, divine leaders in women and in mothers who hold themselves back because they're worried that they don't have all the answers. And it's incredibly hard sometimes to step out and say, I have something to say in this space, knowing that we live in a culture where we are tore down if we don't get it right, knowing that there are people who will judge us and mock us and dismiss us and even worse, bully us, attack us. It's incredibly hard to at times be part of the change. But again, we have to. Not long after the news of my divorce was made public on social media, I had a newly enrolled student in my program ask for a full refund because her email said, I don't want to learn from somebody who obviously can't keep her marriage together. That was one person. I've received some pretty awful things over the years. That one definitely stands out. And it took me a really long time to not be triggered by that memory. It took me a really long time, like years, and it's only been 3.5 years since my separation, to feel brave enough to even talk about relationships again, to talk about the masculine and the feminine and intimacy after babies, because I had this belief that was triggered from that one comment of, who am I to do this if my marriage didn't work out? I think we need more examples of women out there who are saying, it didn't work for me, but I'm still here. I think we need more examples of women who are showing their scars and their wounds when they're ready to, of course. I don't want to see, and I know the mamas I speak to every day, they don't want to see perfection. We are over that. It is just as toxic as those leaders of organizations and countries that say they're perfect and are far from it. We want real examples of what this looks like. That's why matrescence, this word that found me, I believe, in 2018 and finally made me feel like I could claim the professionalism around this space of motherhood. Matrescence gifted me, gosh, so much. Again, it will make me emotional. The word, the work by women before me, especially Dr. Aurelie Athan, who was so incredibly gracious and generous with her knowledge with me. What that gave me was that final piece of the puzzle to be able to talk to all of you about what you're experiencing, but also to know that what I have here is something powerful. I could stand in a boardroom finally and say, no, no, this is something. Don't just dismiss it as a mother thing. This is the truth. And similarly, when we come out and talk about our experiences of marriage and motherhood and divorce and life, we're giving each other permission to claim our messiness too. And I think over the last 10 years, one of the beautiful things I've been able to do is gather so many women from around the world and hear their stories and realize that we all have so many similar stories. And we have to stop putting our masks on and pretending that we're okay. And if you are called to do anything in this space to improve the understanding and support of each other as mothers, then I believe that's how it starts. We take off our mask in safe places, in places where we know we're okay to take those masks off. That's really important. It's why for a really long time I didn't share much on social media around the breakdown of my marriage and in particular around what's been happening with one of my children, because that is not always that safe space. But I have spaces where I can take that mask off and then I can come back into the world and talk about this. I'm really, really proud of how much conversations around motherhood are growing around the world. I'm incredibly excited that I feel we're at a tipping point, the very beginning, but at the tipping point of mothers using their voices. There is a lot of brokenness in our world right now. I'm recording this just a few days after a horrendous, horrendous attack at Bondi Junction Shopping Centre, which is just around the corner from me here in Sydney, and one of my children had left the shopping centre half an hour before the mass murderer went through there with a knife and killed and attacked targeted women, including a beautiful Sydney mama who is in the circles of women I know and I had met in previous years, and her baby. And then you turn the news on and you see what is happening around the world in Gaza, in Africa, in the Ukraine, in every part of the world, really. And I feel that the mothers are beginning to rise. I don't have the best evidence to back that up. But I'm beginning to see it and feel it. And I feel this rumbling and I feel this voice raising. I feel this feminine voice beginning to rumble from almost the depths of the earth. And I'm so incredibly proud to be a part of that in the tiniest way. From 10 years ago, not even wanting to say that I focus on motherhood, to now being so incredibly proud to be yelling as loud as I possibly can that mothers matter. And if we don't get this right for mothers, we won't get it right for the next generation and for our world, is just so profound to reflect on. After 10 years of finding my own voice in this, to now feel like we're all beginning to find our voices is just one of the great privileges of my life. We have so much to do. We have so much to do. But if you're listening to this and feeling that as well, I really want you to know that even listening to this and then talking to your friends, to your partner, to your workplace about matrescence, about making the mental load of mothers visible, about demanding different conditions, about speaking up for yourself in the birthing suite and in the boardroom, in not hiding the realities of things, it's all part of how we're going to create this change. We can't be silent anymore. And I know for me, it took me a long time to claim that this is important, that this is something that has the potential to change the world. Because if the mothers aren't okay, then their kids aren't okay, and then the world's not okay. So, how freaking amazing is that? We've gotten to the point where it's like a breaking point. I know that so many of us are feeling so incredibly sad and scared, but also I'm hoping that this is the point where we rise and say no more. And I truly believe that we do that through taking off that mask of motherhood, of talking about matrescence as a truth, just as adolescence is, just as menopause is, just as these huge rites of passage, life changes, transformations are, so too is this experience of motherhood. And beyond that, we cannot mother the way we have. We cannot continue to believe and be told that we can have it all with absolutely no support around us. We cannot have our babies and then be sent home with no support. We cannot be expected to work 6 weeks after we give birth, putting our babies in endless childcare just so we can pay for childcare. It all needs to change. We can't have mothers working through the school system with neurodiverse children while trying to hold down a job. We can't have mothers holding it all together when their teenager is struggling through mental health challenges. We have to change this. And that is why I'm here and why you're here. I want to finish on this huge reflection on the last 16 years of motherhood. It feels like it's been 20 in the last 10 years of being a coach in this. But really, I wrote my first article about motherhood when Scarlett, my eldest, was only 9 months old. That's how quickly something was activated in me. And I reached out to an editor that I used to write for at a magazine and said, can I write to you about birth trauma? Can I write an article about birth trauma? I've just been through something. So I've literally been writing about this for 15 years and gathering stories for 15 years. One of the things that really guided me to where I wanted to go with this work, I've shared about this book many times over the last decade, Judith Jurek's Circle of Stones. This book changed everything for me because what it showed me was that the answers to everything I was feeling and then everything I heard everyone else feeling was that we need to gather together as women again. And when I think about what is happening in the world and when we begin to start taking that mask of motherhood off and we hear what matrescence is, that's what we're doing. We're gathering back together again. We're being honest with each other. We're showing each other our wounds. We're leaning on each other. We're not pretending anymore. So Judith Jurek wrote over and over again in this phenomenal book, she posed this question of how would your life be different? Just asking what would happen if you had places where you could gather like this. And so that really set me on the path of creating online programs, creating women's circles, and now obviously doing all the work that I do. But I want to finish with this question that she asks. How might your life have been different if deep within you carried an image of the Great Mother? And when things seemed very, very bad, you could imagine that you are sitting in the lap of the goddess, held tightly, embraced at last. And that you could hear her saying to you, I love you. I love you and I need you to bring forth yourself. And if in that image you could see the Great Mother looking to her daughters, looking to each woman to reveal in her own life the beauty, strength, and wisdom of the mother, how might your life be different? My life is so different since starting on this path. And whether you're a brand new listener or have been here since the very, very beginning, I want to say thank you. We are those daughters. We do have the beauty, strength, and courage of the mother. And together, I know we will make a difference in this world. Thank you.
Thanks, as always, for being a part of our Global Matrescence community. Please take a moment and make sure you're subscribed to this podcast in your podcast player so you can always be notified of our next episode. And if you would like to work with a coach on your own experience of matrescence, please go to mamarising.net and explore our directory of phenomenal coaches, workshop leaders, space holders and facilitators around the globe. You can also explore our Global Matrescence Foundation and consider donating so a mama in need can access the support of one of our coaches and still ensure that our coaches receive the income and support they need so they can continue to work in this way. And finally, if you would like to be a coach, a facilitator and a matrescence activist in your own community, jump on our wait list for our next intake of the Mama Rising Facilitator Training at mamarising.net. Thank you for being here and being part of this movement. Until next week, bye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.